You're listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast. Our guest today is Bobby Ong, co-founder of CoinGecko. This episode is brought to you by the Bitcoin.com exchange, the exchange you can trust. Buy and sell Bitcoin as well as 250 digital assets. The Bitcoin.com exchange is secure, fast, easy, and reliable. Register within seconds and buy crypto with a credit or debit card. Join our community of traders now. Exchange.bitcoin.com. I'm your host, Dustin Plantholt. Join us as we dive into the world of economics, politics, tech, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. For even more crypto-related news, sign up at news.bitcoin.com or follow us on Twitter at Bitcoin.com. Now let's bring on our guest, Bobby Ong. Welcome to the Bitcoin.com podcast.
Hi. Great to be on the show.
Well, look, I first have to ask you the question, because I'm sure like everybody, including myself, I mean, why a gecko? I mean, why not Coin Zebra, Coin Llama? Like, what made you say like, man, we got to do Coin Gecko? This is like the one name.
Yeah. So when we started back in April 2014, we were looking for good domain names to launch our website. So we had an idea and we knew we wanted a mascot. So we literally went online and searched for all these coin animal names. So coin, like you said, zebra, coin llama, coin ted. There were not that many domain names that were available. Cointeddy.com was available. Coingecko.com was available. Not that many other options were available back then, even back in 2014. Coin Teddy sounded cute, but can't go with a bear in the name. That sounds bearish.
Yeah.
So Gecko sounded cute and seems like a fun name to choose. So we said, like, let's go with Gecko, coingecko.com, and kind of like...
And that's how it began. It began with a, what are we going to call this thing? Everything else was taken.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just wanted something cute. We knew we wanted a mascot, an animal mascot, and we searched around, played around different variational names. But yeah, CoinGecko was available. So CoinBull.com was not available. So that was...
I think we should have called it Coin Bobby. I think that would have been a pretty cool name. And what got you in... So Bobby, what got you into this space? I mean, there was already competition. I mean, you were coming into a space that had some others that came before. Or did you start along with them?
Yeah, so back in April, back in 2014, I've gotten into the Bitcoin space in 2013. There were several different aggregated, not price tracker websites back then. We were not the first, but we were one of the early ones. And there were a lot of websites, but most of the websites were very badly designed. They look really ugly. They reminded us of websites from the 90s, GeoCities-looking websites. And we thought that we could do something much better. We could design something that is more user-friendly, has better design aesthetics, provides more data and overall more comprehensive and more holistic flow for the user. So my co-founder and I, TM and I, said that, hey, this is something that we probably have the skills in to build something and let's do something with it. So main thing back then was when we started CoinGecko, we wanted data with regards to community and developer stats. No one was out there tracking GitHub stats. No one was out there tracking social media stats and people talking about it qualitatively.
And what is GitHub? I hear this term in the community quite a bit. I mean, walk us through, what is this GitHub?
Yeah, so basically it's a tool that developers use to commit codes. So when they write updates to their software, they push this code to the cloud and they have basically, you can think of it like version 1, version 2, version 3 of your Word document. And that's what developers use, and they put it up on the open source website and called GitHub, where you can track all the changes that they have made. So by tracking GitHub, we could see how active the coin developers are in developing the coin. And a lot of people are talking about, hey, my coin is the most active coin around, but no one's really out there to track all this information, even though all this thing is available very easily online. We just needed somebody to pull all this information. So we were the first to do these things. We provided all this information that was not really available elsewhere and kind of put them in a nice, easy manner for everybody to look and see.
Yeah, no, believe it or not, that's the site that I use. I mean, I'm a CoinGecko fan. I love how you've made it simple to look at the market cap, simple to understand the communities around them. So why does the market cap matter? I mean, if I'm new coming into cryptocurrency, does market cap matter?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people like to think of market cap because it's a concept that they understand from the traditional stock market. So a stock that has a large market cap usually means that it's highly valued and more people are interested in it. And it probably means that they make more profit or they're larger and stable companies. So it's the same for cryptocurrencies. People think of it when the coin has a larger market cap, it means that more people are probably interested in the coin. It's more stable. It has a higher chance of surviving longer term than a coin that has a smaller market cap.
Yeah, no, that's good insight. And so do you see that this space will create much like the traditional market, like the S&P 500 index? Will you have like the DNB index, so Dustin and Bobby's index?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you brought it up. Yes, most definitely there will be a lot of indexes being created. Indices are being created by different parties. Interestingly enough, we were one of the first to launch one of these crypto indexes. Back in 2015 or 2016, we worked with some professors in a university, Humboldt University in Germany, and we launched this thing called CRIX, which is CRX, Cryptocurrency Ranking Index, where it was basically a market-weighted index of the top 50 cryptocurrencies in the space. We were just doing it just for the fun of it, to learn and to experiment with some professors and university PhD students. But turns out that a lot of we didn't really popularize it, but other people are launching indices, and eventually at some point there will be S&P 500 and all these different indices that will be in the market.
Interesting. And so looking at it from a perspective of, I'm not a developer, I don't have a CoinGecko website, and because you're an aggregator, I mean, how do you see through the disguise? I mean, some of these data sources that you're pulling from, I mean, don't they want themselves to look prettier than they are?
Yeah, it's a tough choice that we have. So a lot of these people that come to us, they obviously want to do things that make themselves look better. So it's a hard thing for us to decide who is right and who is trying to manipulate the data. It comes to a point where we, to some extent, we believe that any data, any metric that gets tracked will eventually be manipulated by people. Because market cap is tracked, a lot of coins have this incentive, a perverse incentive, to sort of manipulate their token supply to sort of have a large circulation so that they have a large market cap at the start, because then they appear at the top of the rank. It's the same for crypto exchanges, because a lot of crypto exchanges, a lot of websites sort exchanges by trading volume. A lot of these exchanges are very incentivized to conduct wash trading so that they appear near the top of these crypto exchanges, so that they can go around telling people that, hey, we are the biggest crypto exchange in the world because we trade X billion dollars of daily trading volume, for example. So all these things that get measured eventually gets manipulated by these people because they have a very strong incentive to appear large. It's a tough choice. That's why we have to come up with different metrics, different ways of measuring things. For example, from a crypto exchanges point of view, we no longer rank exchanges by trading volume. We now have this thing called a trust score, where we rank exchanges by a series of metrics such as order book stats. We look at similar web traffic estimates. We look at the bid-ask spread and a bunch of other metrics to kind of put together a more holistic view for exchanges.
Wow, that's fascinating. So liquidity, I mean, I've heard this term liquidity and supply, but for somebody that is not the technician you are, what is liquidity and what is supply?
Yeah, so let me start with liquidity first. So liquidity in simple terms mean that if you have $1 million that you want to buy Bitcoin, for example, or Bitcoin Cash, and you go to an exchange, let's say any exchange, Coinbase, and if you put $1 million, can you buy all this Bitcoin at the price? And let's say the price is $10,000 per Bitcoin at this point in time. Can you buy $1 million worth of Bitcoin on Coinbase at this point in time at $10,000? If the exchange is liquid, then yes, you can buy $1 million worth without any price slippage. But if the exchange is not liquid, it doesn't have, the order book is not thick enough, instead of paying $10,000 for Bitcoin, you may end up paying on average $10,100 for per Bitcoin on average for that $1 million purchase. So that's called the slippage, and an exchange that is not liquid will have a large slippage compared to an exchange that is liquid, where you get to pay at the price that you see it. So yeah, that's mainly the conversation with regards to liquidity. It's very important because without liquidity, you cannot sell or buy the token at the price that is quoted on the exchange. That's why order book depth is important. Bid ask spread is important. In terms of supply, it's probably with regards to the market cap, which is calculated as a formula between the price of the coin, the last done price or the current price of the coin, multiplied by the circulating supply of the coin. So a coin that wants to have a large market cap will have to manipulate one of these numbers. For example, they either move the price really high or they move the circulating supply really high. So a lot of these coins will try to use tricks to move either of these numbers, either the price or the supply, to have a higher market cap so that they rank higher on the site, for example.
Do you think that an exchange should be buying an aggregator site? I mean, the two seem to have a conflict, do they not? Or can you separate the two?
I most definitely do not agree that an exchange should own a data aggregator site. You're right, there is a conflict of interest, because an exchange will then obviously want to make themselves look great in all aspects whenever they own a data aggregator. And we have seen this case happening. Once the purchase was done, everything just looked great for the exchange owner. Even though they said it's independent, the management of the independent entity knows who is their eventual sure. owner, and they want to do all they can to make their boss look good, because
of course
their job depends on their boss. So,
And that makes sense. I mean, I understand that. Why would you want to take a shot at your boss? Like, I get it. You don't want to take shots at your owner.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's not a good thing. We don't see that happening in the traditional markets. Exchange owners don't do the same thing. And especially in crypto, where it's a really decentralized system, where we need to have data integrity, data neutrality, data independence. These are things that are very important, and we need to do what we can to kind of make sure this data is not tampered with, not manipulated. Because as I said, anything that gets measured will get manipulated. And exchanges, as we know, have a very strong incentive to make themselves look good in the eyes of all owners, of all the users around the world. And owning a data aggregator doesn't help in correcting their perception. So that's one of the things that we do at CoinGecko. We believe that independence and neutrality is very important. We need to be impartial with our data. We're proud to say that we have...
I like that, by the way, Bobby. Independence and neutrality. That is a phenomenal way of explaining who you are.
Yeah, and because we believe in independence very strongly, we have not taken any funding from any external party. So we are fully bootstrapped. We've been running since 2014. We take a very conservative approach in funding our growth. It was all from profits that we make through our business. And there's no exchange owning shares in CoinGecko, unlike other aggregators who owns outright 100% or have some shares. We've been approached multiple times by exchanges, many exchanges, VCs, angel investors, but we have said no to all of them. I mean, and I think our decision is right, and there's no real rush to take anything. Maintaining independence is important because this is something that is highly valued in the community. And as we move towards a decentralized space, there are ways that we can do to raise funding in the future. If we ever need to, if we can't run it sustainably in the future, we will find a way to raise funds, but in a more decentralized manner, similar to how the ethos of cryptocurrencies.
And that's what I love about CoinGecko. There's a saying that says, if you're defending, you're losing, that you don't have to defend your position. You know, the owner and founder of Bitcoin.com, or the founders of Bitcoin.com, you know, Roger Ver. You know, when I took over the Bitcoin.com podcast, and I said to him, in terms of the guests that I'll be bringing on, he said, there's no one that's off limits. I said, well, I'm going to be bringing on competition. I mean, Bitcoin.com is also an exchange. I'm going to bring on WizierX. I'm going to bring on others in the space that compete. And his response was, okay, bring them on. That you can still have a product and a service and still unite the community. And that is what you've done. You have found this way, Bobby, of uniting everybody. And I think it's admirable, but it probably comes at a cost. How do you deal with the downside? I mean, you then have a target on your back, I imagine, of some, you know, within certain communities that you won't accept the data coming in without making sure it's accurate and right. I imagine you probably get exchanges that reach out to you and they're not happy with you. I mean, what's that been like?
Yeah, it's tough. A lot of these exchanges, they are obviously not happy with their score that is given on CoinGecko. We always tell them they've tried to bribe many times. We obviously say no, that's not what we do. They ask for consulting fees and can improve their ranking. He said, no, that's not what we do. We just share with them. This is a methodology. Everyone is evaluated on the same metric. Just really understand it. And at the end of the day, like, do what is right. Try to grow your community. Don't try to cheat your way into gaming the system. Like, there is no point. Like, there is no point trying to game the ranking on CoinGecko. Who does it benefit? All you need to do is do your best to build the best product out there. Do your best in marketing and get users to love and use your site and stay on at your exchange. Eventually, word will spread out that you are awesome, you're great, and then you'll get more users that way.
Yeah, I mean, you have this transparency feel. So bad data in, bad data out. I mean, do aggregators have a responsibility to the digital asset community?
Yes, most definitely. Because this is a very nascent space. A lot of people rely on websites like CoinGecko to get information and to use the right to get the right information. And back in 2019, when we were seeing a lot of exchanges were manipulating their trading volume, they were wash trading. The exchanges that get ranked at the top of CoinGecko because we were ranking with trading volume was sort of getting ridiculous. It was all some sort of weird exchanges at the top. And we look at our site every day and say that this can't go on. We can't be sending users, innocent users who don't know much about cryptocurrencies to some weird exchanges, some who are clearly manipulating the data. We need to do what we can to collect more data, to surface the right information, to show them that, hey, these exchanges that get ranked at the top, even though they say they have $100 million or $1 billion in daily trading volume, they actually do not really have that volume because they are wash trading. Because if you look at a bid-ask spread, for example, they may be showing 90% bid-ask spread, and you can't really trade at that spread, or they have an order book depth of very little. If you try to sell $100,000 worth of Bitcoin or even $10,000, you have like 20% price slippage. So these are things that we want to surface to users. And when we collected all this data, we saw that a lot of these exchanges are not really liquid. We started ranking them in an algorithm that places exchanges that have more liquidity at the top. And now we know that whenever a user comes to a site on CoinGecko, they see an exchange, they more or less have some belief that these exchanges are more or less the bigger exchanges, the one that have more liquidity, instead of some small crappy exchanges that wash trades or fake their data.
Yeah, I mean, treat others the way you want to be treated. That seems to be the leadership of your organization, that you want to treat others out there the way you want to be treated, that you don't want to be deceived. You don't want to be manipulated. You want to be able to have access to data to make good decisions, decisions with your money that you worked for, that many times people throughout the world that are going to be buying cryptocurrency or that own cryptocurrency, that they're looking at this to create generational wealth. You know, this is a new opportunity for them. And so for them to rely on bad data, they make bad decisions. And CoinGecko has given that opportunity where you can see through it and you can be transparent. So talk about where things are going. I mean, we look out 3 years from now, 5 years from now, Bobby, where are we?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting question, and I like enjoy answering that, because if you think about the future of cryptocurrencies, we are just at the start of a multi-decade phenomenon in crypto. Because if you think about things, anything, I like to say this, anything and everything that can be tokenized will be tokenized. So when we started CoinGecko back in 2014, we started with probably around 50 tokens or so. And now in 2020, we have about 7,000 tokens tracked on CoinGecko.
Wow, 7,000. Yeah. I mean, that's remarkable. How big's your team? I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, so, and if you think about the future, like 7,000, like when we started CoinGecko like 5-6 years ago, we never thought that we would hit 7,000 tokens. 7,000 tokens is a lot of tokens.
That's
and we
a lot.
Have one of the most, I should say, we have the biggest and the most comprehensive database of tokens in the crypto space, 7,000 plus tokens. And if you think about the future, like you know, next 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, things are moving and growing at an exponential speed, exponential rate. Things are moving at a much faster rate. More and more tokens will be created. You can imagine anything that has value in the real world can be tokenized and represented as a token. So what we are really building at CoinGecko is building a future, building an infrastructure that can support a system, a crypto ecosystem where there'll be millions of tokens in the future. So I don't know when we'll reach a million token, but maybe in 10 years' time, maybe in 2 years' time, maybe in 3 years' time, but that's the direction that we're heading. We are headed to a direction where there will be a million tokens in the world, or more, and more, actually.
Now, is a token the same thing as a coin? Because I hear this terminology coin, and then I hear token.
Yeah, so for us, a token and a coin, they are more or less the same thing. Obviously, there's slight nuances, there's slight differences. You can think about a coin as a coin that has its own blockchain by itself, such as Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and so on. Whereas a token is a token that is represented on top of this blockchain. For example, like Xerox token is an ERC20 token on top of Ethereum. There are some tokens that can be represented onto the Bitcoin Cash token and so on. So, but more or less, they are roughly the same thing, but it's just semantics. It's just different categorization of coins and tokens.
And who taught you all of this, Bobby? I mean, you know a lot about this space. Are you still learning?
Yes. No one taught me. Like the reason why I got curious about Bitcoin in the first place was because I didn't learn about this in university. When I graduated in 2012 and I heard about Bitcoin in 2013, I spent 3 years learning about economics in university, in one of the best universities in London, in the UK. And my professor did not mention Bitcoin at all. So when I first heard about it from some developers, I thought like, either these guys are crazy or my professors are obsolete. So I had... Yeah. I took the chance to read it. This sort of makes sense. I took the chance to buy it, made sense, move it to my own wallet. And then the more I start reading into it, the more I got curious about the potential with it. And it's all self-learning. Everything's available online. But the hard part is digging through and spending the hours reading all these things. And the space is moving at such a fast rate that it's really hard to stay up to date with all the information and all the development that is happening. Like, for example, over the weekend, something happened in DeFi, and I had to spend a whole time learning about all the new DeFi
and
tokens.
What is DeFi, Bobby?
Decentralized finance. It's basically a movement in the Ethereum community to create a decentralized version of any traditional finance financial services that you can find in the real world. So things like lending, you do it in a decentralized manner on a blockchain. Things like building a decentralized exchange. Things like building a decentralized derivative platform, things like building a decentralized lottery platform, for example. All these things are happening on Ethereum, and a lot of things are happening on Ethereum. And over the weekend, I just had to spend some time reading up on some of the latest development to keep up to date on some of these things. There's just no choice. You just have to spend the hours and read up.
Yeah. And how many hours do you put in? I mean, what's an average day? Are you putting in 8 hours a day, 12 hours? I mean, it seems to be this space can consume you because there is a never-ending amount of information or things that you can be educated on.
Yeah, I mean, on an average day, I start my day around 9, I finish work around 6, probably 8 hours of work in the office, and then I head back home, and then it's a 24/7 movement. There's everybody pinging you on Telegram, so... At night, I just spend some time replying some of these messages, emails, and so on. So
you're always on, huh?
Yeah, you're always on. And then at night, you just go to sleep. You kind of get to sleep. Otherwise, it's hard to stay focused the next day, right?
Absolutely. And so, Bobby, where do I find you guys?
Yeah, so the best way to find CoinGecko is go to coingecko.com. And then you can follow all the things that we have on the site. We are making a lot of changes, launching a lot of things. We have an app on the iOS and the Android Play Store. Just search CoinGecko. You can follow us on Twitter at CoinGecko. Join us on Telegram at CoinGecko as well. And yeah, that's how you find us.
Well, thank you so much, Bobby, for coming on the Bitcoin.com podcast. Had a great time, and hopefully we can have you back on here soon.
Yep, awesome.
You've listened to another episode of the Bitcoin.com podcast. Subscribe at news.bitcoin.com, where your journey begins.